right?
Okay, all right, we're apparently back. Cenk and Anna with you guys. Annie O'Neill writes in, it's so encouraging to see these brave ex-Trumpies fessing up and coming forward, gives us all hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they're gonna get routed in 2018. Especially if they're running against populist Democrats rather than corporate Democrats. Mm-hmm. Their only chance is that the corporate Democrats run against them. JusticeDemocrats.com. John Connor says, recess equals time to call their donors for re-election money. Totally correct. John, that's such a great point. They take these giant long recesses in Congress so they go beg for cash from rich people and corporations. All right.
Cash and for clunkers.
Well, that's right. That's a good point. It's a great point. If you were tweeting that in, I would give you a t-shirt.
Thank you.
Okay.
Except I have like 50,000 of them.
Okay,
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because we wear them all the time. Yeah. By the way, I think there's a super chat thing on YouTube. I want to read comments from that more often too, along with hashtag TYT Live. So if you're watching on YouTube.com/TYT, I'll try to read some of those super chat comments too. Okay, and Yvette. $500 for the journalism drive. Thank you, Yvette. So let me see where we are now. TYTnetwork.com/go 1503. Come on. Today somebody was saying, hey, you guys should stop before you get to 2 million. Wrong again, Bob.
Who said that?
I can't out them. Okay. Right. But let's get to 2, and in which case we'll hire 2 more people. And so far, so good. I think you guys have been pretty happy with the guys we've hired and the work that they've done. All right, what's next?
Yes. All right. Grammy Award-winning hip-hop artist Wyclef Jean was mistakenly detained as a robbery suspect in Los Angeles. He was handcuffed for about 6 minutes and was livid as a result, but his car did match the description of the suspect's car, which is why authorities detained him. Now, of course, they made a huge mistake, and so the Sheriff's Department in Los Angeles has released an apology statement, and they essentially say that they've apologized for any inconvenience this process caused to Mr. Jean. And also, it is unfortunate that Mr. Jean was detained for 6 minutes during this investigation, as he had no involvement whatsoever in this violent crime. Now, Wyclef did tweet and also Instagram post about the situation. Here is a video from his Instagram page showing what happened. And in this video, you can hear him threatening to sue the cops. So take a look.
I'm a recording manager. I'm coming from the studio. I was recording. Could you give him the address to the studio? But this is just so y'all know. I am going to sue the LA. Please, I am going to sue you because you took off my hat. You put cuffs on me.
So believe it or not, I'm a little split on this story, okay? So by the way, I like how the cops put in there. He was detained for 6 minutes, only 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, so why am I split on it?
Wait, you want to jump in? Before you explain why you're split on it, I don't even know if I told you guys what or why they were why cops were looking for a suspect. There was apparently a violent robbery, and it happened in West Hollywood. And look, I have to say, police officers in West Hollywood are actually pretty awesome. And that's not just me saying it as like a white girl living in West Hollywood. I just know from experience and the way that they react to members of the community that they're pretty great. So I don't think that there was any foul play here. It's just that his car matched the description of the suspect's car. Go ahead.
So, but that's what the cops say. And I'm a tiny bit surprised by that, because Wyclef must be driving a pretty nice car. And in this case, the suspect allegedly attacked and held up this man and woman at gunpoint, and then jumped back in his car and drove away. Are robbery suspects now driving Bentleys? I don't know what Wyclef's car is, but like, it's just weird. And so what they don't say is the suspect was black and Wyclef kind of looked like him. But that's kind of implicit in that statement. So without the context of the gross discrimination that African Americans have been facing in this country and how they systematically get pulled over wrongly all the time, I would say this story is not that big a deal, okay? But there is that context, so I'm not saying it's not a big deal, because context is important.
So here's what happened though. Cops had handcuffed him and detained him for about 6 minutes, as they say, and they didn't let him go until other cops showed up and they kind of like cleared him of any wrongdoing. And so I'm wondering what happened. Like, did other cops show up and they're like, hey, that's Wyclef Jean. like, and he's tweeting, about this. So like, let's let him go. Because I feel like if he didn't have a public following, then the situation might have ended up differently.
Yeah, and so look, let me quote Reuters here. Go to graphic 7. The statement says Jean was placed in handcuffs because he displayed, quote, furtive movements and demeanor, such as walking towards the trunk of the car despite deputies asking him not to. So that, let me just then bifurcate this. So on the one hand, it is entirely possible that he did match the description, not just because he was black, but he kind of actually did look like the guy, and the car did look like the car, and then he didn't listen to all the orders, so they're like, wait, I got to just pause here for a second, and since you're not listening to orders, I got to handcuff you for a brief period of time. And then other guys come in and go, no, that's not him. Mm-hmm. And then we unhandcuff you and we're done with it, and it's not that big a deal, right? Wyclef says, I was treated like a criminal until other police showed up and pointed out they had the wrong person. Yeah, because they thought you were, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now, it might be that they thought he was because he's black and he was in the neighborhood. And again, the context matters. Or it might be because he looked like the guy. And so there's a tinge here of the celebrity saying, like, how dare you do it to me? And so maybe I'm totally misreading that and being super unfair to Wyclef, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like this stuff happens to people all the time.
And it does happen to people all the time, and it sucks. And look, honestly, in situations like this, I don't know what cops are supposed to do. If the person does seem to match the description of the suspect, whether it's their car or their physical appearance, whatever it is, right? So do the cops just say, well, we don't know for sure, so we're just going to let him go? No, they have to stop him, right? So like I get that, but also, I did think about what it must feel like to be a celebrity and not be recognized by people. You know what I mean?
So what?
I know, but like, I wonder if that got under his skin as well, right?
It might be. You know, Ali G used to do this skit, and he would like, he'd get Newt Gingrich, mm-hmm. and then he'd get him to spell his name, and he'd keep misspelling it. And it would get under his skin so much because that's his ego, right? Yeah. And he's like, how could you not know who I am, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a brilliant way that he undermined that or showed the highlight in it. So in this case, if cops come to me and they say, okay, well, look, we're going to detain you for a second because you matched a suspect, I'd be like, I think if they were reasonable, if, that's a giant if, I think, oh, okay, go ahead, run it, because I'm not the suspect. It's not that big a deal, and you'll sort it out, and we'll figure it out. Now, they detain you for 6 hours or 6 days,
yeah,
and there's some sort of injustice.
That's when you say, someone please call 911.
Yeah. So that, then it's horrible. But if they detain me for 6 minutes while they figured out if I was a robbery suspect or not, I don't think that's the end of the world. Now, on the other hand, Wyclef says, I'm sure no father wants his sons or daughters to see him in handcuffs, especially if he's innocent. And if his kids are in the car and they see that happening, and then he has a sense, as Johnny Cochran used to say, that it doesn't matter how successful you are as an African American, they're still going to handcuff you in front of your kids. Hmm. Well, that's super frustrating, and I can understand his frustration about that. But the devil's in the details here. The question is, did the cops in that brief period of time act reasonably or not? And it is super hard for us to know.
Yeah.
And I just think that's the reality.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right, now to a story that enrages me. Members of Congress are trying to find ways to improve certain programs that help disadvantaged students afford college. Now, in that equation is Pell Grants. Pell Grants, of course, are grants given to individuals who do not have enough of an income to pay for college. Now, during this discussion, Representative Glenn Grothman from Wisconsin tried to make an argument about how maybe Pell Grants don't make a lot of sense and maybe they should be cut. Maybe they should be reformed to the point where they're not as available to disadvantaged students. And then he gave one reason that I thought was extremely strange. Take a look.
I've received anecdotal evidence in my district of people not getting married. Because, of course, if you don't get married, it's easier to be in poverty and get Pell Grants. Would you care to comment on that? Anybody comment on that? I mean, I've heard it from several people. You're the experts.
Yeah, so everyone was very confused as to why he was asking a ridiculous question. He himself admitted in the framing of that question that he had anecdotal evidence that people were abstaining from marriage just so they would qualify for Pell Grants. First of all, he's an idiot. People who are applying for Pell Grants are college students, right? They're people fresh out of high school in a lot of cases who are like 18 years old maybe. And secondly, why are Republicans, specifically conservative Republicans, so obsessed with the idea of marriage being a sound economic policy? Like, oh, you can't afford college? Just get married. Mooch off someone else. Be financially dependent. That's our economic policy for you. No, that's not a good way to tell people how to afford college. Okay, encouraging them to get married is not economic policy. How about you come up with something that actually makes sense and actually helps the American people rather than trying to find ways to cut certain programs that help disadvantaged individuals, afford a higher education. What an idiot! What an idiot!
So I didn't think you were going to go in that direction.
He's a fucking idiot.
Okay, I want to attack him on a different thing. So, but first, one of the people he asked was Barmak Nasirian. He's the director of federal relations and policy analysis at the American Association of State Colleges and Universities. And when presented with this absurd anecdotal evidence about people not getting married at the age of 17 and 18 so they can qualify for Pell Grants, he said, I'm not sure what to do with that information.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like, ridiculous.
But to me, that was not the straw that broke the camel's back.
No, that was the most absurd thing he said. But get a load of more of his accusations against individuals who need these Pell Grants.
The Pell Grant program or other programs have been subject to criticism for even when I was in college by the middle class. And people got tired of the American government hating the middle class. And they have to kick in for their kids' programs or their kids have to take out loans. Well, maybe kids from some other families seem to get things for free. Do you think one way to deal with this problem would be to have, say, no Pell Grants in your freshman year, at least have for the freshman year, have the kids who aren't in the middle class take out loans like the kids in the middle class already have to, and that way you could make sure that everybody who's going to college after at least they get through the first year are more serious about college? You think that would be a fair thing to do?
Carson, I think what you're asking is if there's a Robin Hood effect in higher education, where middle class and upper middle class people are paying for poor people and who aren't ready for college. Am I understanding your question?
Well, just the unfairness, the resentment. Mm-hmm. I know in many ways in this mm-hmm. in this country we hate the middle class. You know, mm-hmm. we love the rich, we love the poor, yep. we hate the middle class.
So people
wonder why. Sometimes they use these Pell Grants too for goodies and electronics, and they resent the fact that by doing it right, their kids are penalized.
You know who hates the middle class? Grothman does. He hates the middle class. How do you think people from low socioeconomic statuses make it to the middle class? They do it through education, right? And you want to do away with what little government money they get in order to afford college. And then he has the fucking audacity to talk about, oh, why don't these students take out loans like the middle class? Oh, you think the couple thousand dollars that they get through Pell Grants pays for their college education? Here's what's really going on. Everyone's taking out loans for college right now. That's how expensive it is. Everyone, middle class, disadvantaged, even people who come from wealthier families have to take out loans because tuition is so insanely expensive, which is why right now we have $1.2 trillion in student loan debt. Okay, that's what's going on. You hate the middle class. Okay, you hate the middle class.
So he's basically saying, why don't you take out loans for my banker friends, which then, thanks to the laws we passed, that will be an albatross around your neck for the rest of your life and you'll never be able to get rid of. And so instead, some poor people actually can live the American dream by also getting an education? Yuck. Ugh. I mean, how dare they try to get up to our level or just get up to the middle class? And then to me, the most obnoxious part of it was so they could get goodies and electronics. Look at how loaded that statement is. And look at how much they hate the poor. Mm-hmm. They hate them. Their assumptions are, oh, they're all a bunch of ripoff artists. They're not actually trying to get an education. They're just getting the Pell Grant so they can get electronics and goodies.
Yeah.
And they're dropping out of college right away. No, in fact, experts explain that the moment that you need the grants the most is actually your first year.
That's exactly right.
And so that you could actually, that if you can get past the first year, you're far more likely to stay in school, etc. What kind of sense does it make if you can't even attend the first year of school because you don't have any grants? Well, how the hell are you going to get to the third year if you didn't have the money to get into the first year? Because he doesn't want you to get an education.
Also, can we just finally accept the fact that having electronics like a computer or a telephone is not just a luxury, okay? It's something that you literally need in today's society just to keep up with things. If you're in college, you need a computer, okay? You might not have a computer and you might rely on your cell phone as your computer. A lot of people do that because the smartphone, you can surf the web, you can do your research. I've done that when I'm traveling and I don't wanna, you know, lug my computer around everywhere with me. So like this notion that electronics are only reserved for the wealthiest, right? And if you're poor, you need to live like the piece of shit that they think that you are. It drives me absolutely insane. By the way, this is the same representative who in 2012 wanted to pass legislation that wanted to classify single parenthood as child neglect or child abuse. That's the kind of politician that person is, okay, from Wisconsin.
But you very likely literally need it for your coursework. But a lot of these old Republicans grew up in a time where they're like, oh, well, I used to write things out. What do you need a computer for? Are you trying to play video games? No, idiot. That's what I need to do my coursework on because we live in the modern world. And you can't qualify for a Pell Grant unless you can't afford it, unless you can't afford college.
Right.
So this is the only way you can go to college. But again, he doesn't want you to go to college. He has nothing but disdain for the poor. He doesn't want you to make it in the middle class. He doesn't believe in the American dream. He thinks it's reserved for his friends. And if your kids don't make it, ha ha, got you.
Later on, he mentioned that he believed there were too many people going to college. Okay, he stated that himself. There are too many people going to college, and then he advocated for schools where people can go and learn how to be welders and things like that. Okay, you know where his mind is, okay? If he thinks that you are from a lower socioeconomic status, there should not be an economic ladder that you can climb in order to be part of the middle class. He hates the middle class, he hates the poor. The only people he cares about is the wealthy or those who share his ridiculous conservative beliefs, okay?
In other words, he's saying you should be our errand boys, you should be welders, you should just work for us. Okay, how dare you try to make your life a little bit better, your kids' lives a little bit better. And ironically, these are the same Republicans who turn around and go, what? You have all the opportunity in the world in America. And if you didn't make it, it's your fault because we gave you all the opportunity. While in the middle of the night, he tries to rob you of that opportunity. This is why we get frustrated at the mainstream media, because you think they cover that? You think that that's on television? CNN for we talked about this in a post game for 90 minutes straight the other day, and you turn it on at any time. One issue alone. Well, usually it's Russia, but whatever it is, some sort of tweet or investigation, they never get into the details. So people don't know that the Republicans want to rob them of education. They just don't know it, but they do. Okay, we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, for the first time, perhaps a number of studies showing that if you're physically attractive, it could hurt you. Interesting. We'll do that when we return. Here you, sister. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Well, Anna, I'm not the only one who hears you. Melon Ninja Turtle says, kudos to Anna for that Wyclef joke that went right over Cenk's head. But she says, I see you.
I love it.
Jeremy Kohler says, thank you, Anna Kasparian. Technology is not a luxury. Mohammed Abdinur says about Wyclef, he should sue them for as much as possible. Not every wrongful arrestees have the ability to scare them to deter profiling. Really interesting and good point, Mohammed.
Yeah.
And Miri says, if it wasn't for the Pell Grant, I'd be close to $90,000 in debt for a bachelor's. But Miri, that's exactly why that Republican congressman wanted you to not be able to get Pell Grants,
yep,
so that you could be $90,000 in debt to his banker friends. Just a couple more thank yous here to $15 from Paula in Germany. Thank you, Paula. $50 from Cynthia in Nevada, and $127 from Melissa in Illinois. You guys are the best. And that's tytnetwork.com/go to fund the campaign. That's almost over, about 37, 38 days left. And then member shout outs of the day are Byron Davis. Reminds me of Brian White. Oh, his jump shot.
Did you ever have the pleasure of watching him play basketball?
I actually did, and I did see, I once saw him make a money shot, and it was amazing. Anyway, and Joshua Emmanuel, thank you guys. Some great post games. Today we've got another one. Usually do personal fun stories. We also have TYT Classics tonight. That is where we look at older clips, mm-hmm, which, by the way, if you're a member, the archives go back all the way to 2012.
Whoa.
If I was a member, if I kind of am a member, if I had more time, let's put it that way, it'd be super cool to randomly listen to some old shows. Me and Tim Collins did it for like a minute today, mm-hmm, and we were talking about what Obama was doing wrong, and I was so right. I loved it.
You were always spot on when it came to politics, but there's some social commentary videos from years ago where, like, Irina found a few today, and she's like, oh my God.
I know, I was a bad man in the past. Yeah. I was a bad man.
Yeah.
So you'll see that, members, today. tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. And then tonight for old school, that's later on at around 11 o'clock Eastern, me, Jesus, Wes Clark, and Michael Schur. You ought to be a great old school. You're going to be on old school again next week.
Next week, yeah.
And we're even going to let Johnny Pye on for once.
Okay, so I miss John. John's away right now.
I know.
I was away like for a week. And so now I'm just like, oh, it's not the same. I need someone to be in our production meetings who like poo-poos on every suggestion I make for Masters.
Johnny Pye, we miss you. All right, what's next?
All right. Physical attractiveness usually leads to positive things for individuals who are hot. But there is one massive downside based on a massive study that was done by various universities, which include Harvard, the University of Laverne, and Santa Clara University. They wanted to see how being physically attractive impacts relationships, whether it be regular, love interest relationships or marriages. And what they found was that there's actually a huge downside to being hot. So they found that through various experiments that you have a greater likelihood of relationship disillusion, briefer relationships, and also decreased effort in relationship maintenance. Okay, so they did about four different experiments or studies to kind of come up with these conclusions, and here's what they found. So in the first study of 238 individuals, researchers found that those rated as more attractive in high school yearbooks were married for shorter durations and more likely to divorce.
I'm not sure I would have been in that category, so I feel a little good about this news. Oh yeah, at least my marriage is going to last longer.
Okay.
Take that.
So then they looked at the IMDb profiles of various celebrities, and then had people rate the attractiveness of these celebrities, and then looked into their relationship history. Here's what the researchers found. More attractive celebs were less likely to stay married and experience briefer marriages. Okay. So let's look at the final experiment, which I thought was interesting. In study four, good looks hurt relationships because they predicted increased interest in attractive alternatives among those who were dissatisfied with their relationship.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, you've got a winner.
I'm surprised Harvard did this study, but whatever. I think it's the most obvious thing in the world. I think cheating relies almost solely on what your opportunities are, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can be the strongest person ever, like strong-willed, like, oh, I love my significant other. But there's gonna be like a lull in your relationship at some point. And if some hottie is trying to like rub up against you, like what are you gonna do? You're gonna say no? Like you should, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah, so it's the oldest adage there is. It's just, how likely are you to cheat? Depends on how much opportunity you have. Right? And it depends on, as I was saying, honestly, how strong the other person is coming at you. It also might slightly depend on if you're a guy or a girl, mm-hmm, right? So why do you think celebrities get divorced more often, which they do? It's because they have all the opportunity in the world. If you're a random dude in the middle of Wichita, no offense, but are hot girls throwing themselves at you at all times? Probably not. I know I'm a random dude in the middle of LA and hot girls are throwing themselves at me. Mm-hmm. And even now, right? Even now when we have a little higher profile, ain't nobody throwing themselves. Before, ain't nobody throwing themselves at me, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, but if you're David Beckham or you're Brad Pitt, or you name it. It doesn't have to be just Brad Pitt. There's a million of those guys, and nonstop attractive women propositioning them. At some point, they will break.
Yeah, well, the incredible thing about David Beckham is that he's had a long and seemingly happy relationship. I wish them all the happiness in the world. But I feel like he's more of an anomaly, whereas a lot of people do experience temptation throughout their relationships. And look, I think it mostly has to do with, yes, opportunities, but also your satisfaction in the relationship, right? So, people cheat for different reasons. I think that the reasons for cheating vary based on gender as well. I think for women, there's a lot of issues with how involved your partner is, whether or not you feel emotionally connected, whether or not he's, responsive to your needs. Like, those are the kinds of things that might convince a woman that it's worth cheating. And with men, it's, does she have tits? Like, okay,
You might be oversimplifying a little bit. Actually, one thing that leads-
I'm being unfair to men, but okay. Not really.
One thing that leads men to cheat more, according to the studies, is their wife giving them enough-
Validation,
right? So that's both understandable and a little sad, right? Mm-hmm. But so they look for validation and they go cheat. That's very common, whether you're a celebrity or not a celebrity, or whether you're attractive or not attractive. And you don't have to be a celebrity or rich, by the way. That's just one out of the four studies. It's just, it makes sense. Speaking from a probability perspective, if you're more attractive, you're more likely to get more opportunities and has likely to have shorter relationships and have ones that are more likely to break up. But also there's one other thing that I found interesting. One of the first things you mentioned there, Anna, mm-hmm. decreased effort in relationship maintenance. So if you're hot, you think like, I'm hot, I don't have to do anything here, mm-hmm. right? So I'm not gonna bother putting much effort into this relationship. What's he gonna do, break up with me? Are you kidding me? Or what's she gonna do, break up with me? No, I'm hot,
yeah.
right? So, and it turns out, no, relationship maintenance is actually the most important thing.
It's very important. And that's at least with marriage, I know, and I've only been married for a short time, that it takes work. It takes constant work, right? To remain involved in each other's lives and to keep the fire alive and all that stuff. Because we're humans, right? And you can only cook a steak so many times or so many ways. Like sometimes you want some shrimp. Right? Or mm-hmm. I don't know, lobster or something different. But you gotta like keep convincing yourself that you want steak. And that's maintenance, that's relationship maintenance.
I'm not sure that that's the only relationship maintenance or really the focus of this story, but I do see what's going on a little bit here.
Anyway, now I'm gonna stop myself before I get in trouble. Okay. I love steak, guys, love it.
Okay, and look, maybe there's a slight counter effect too, which is that if your partner is hotter, maybe you are more likely to stay with them, right? At least they continue to be attractive to you. And so that's a slight upside. But overall, we now have the jury's in. So the slight downside to being attractive is, your relationships are more likely to end and end quicker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we edit out the part where I talked about steak and lobster?
No.
Though? Okay.
No. Right. We're going to do that. All right, one more story.
All right. A startup in Silicon Valley is actually offering to pay its employees $10,000 if they delocate, meaning if they move out of Silicon Valley. Now, this is actually really great news because the company, Zapier, does allow its employees to work remotely. And so since they're not required to live in Silicon Valley, they want to encourage people to live wherever they want, and they get a $10,000 bonus as a result. Now, Zapier recently announced that if current Bay Area residents were interested in improving their family standard of living by relocating, the firm would provide $10,000 in moving reimbursements. Tech workers earning between $100,000 to $700,000 recently spoke to The Guardian about their real estate struggles. And one study suggested that for some engineers, more than 50% of their salary goes to rent. Now, I think this is actually something that a lot of Americans are experiencing. Financial advisors usually tell you, you shouldn't spend more than 30% of your income on where you're living. But a lot of people pay way more than that. And that's certainly the case in high-priced areas like Silicon Valley or Los Angeles or New York City. But I love this because it's kind of encouraging people to move away, and hopefully it will help lower, you know, the cost of the housing market there if more companies follow suit and do something similar.
Yeah, it's a weird hit that this guy's taken on his own to get people to move away from him.
Yeah.
Because a lot of companies would have to do this for it to have any kind of effect. This company only has 85 people.
Right.
So, and it doesn't really, if they're all working from home, which in his case they do, what does he care if they live near him or a million miles from him? But it like a million miles from him doesn't help him any more than it hurts him. So
I think that this might be an effort to attract some of the more talented engineers and employees. And so I think a lot of people are deterred from working in Silicon Valley jobs if they have to live in the Bay Area. It's so incredibly expensive, and why would you want to go through, you know, making a decent living and not being able to enjoy it because all your money is going to go toward rent.
Yeah, so that makes sense. And it worked for him. Immediately, once he announces, they had 150 applications, 50 of them specifically saying, hey, can I please move away from you? I like that idea a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, and if he's looking to recruit better, mission accomplished. Really nice PR move, and probably worth the extra $10,000 he's going to give in relocation for however many people that he's going to hire. Random part of the story that made me bitter and jealous is that this CEO is 30 years old.
I know, but that's the case with most, you know, successful CEOs in Silicon Valley. They're super young, in a lot of cases younger than us, and they're millionaires. I don't know if he's a millionaire, but yeah, it sucks. That's life.
No, it's good for you. God bless, yeah. Wade Foster, and well played on this effort, and it helps people in San Francisco, because let's just finish on that, because it is really mental that if you make $700,000 and you can't afford the rent, like, we've gone beyond the middle class getting crunched.
I know.
Like, in places like San Francisco, that's not true in the middle of Kentucky, but in places like San Francisco, everybody's getting crunched.
I know. It's getting worse in Los Angeles as well. So think about it.
Think about it. I don't know what I'm thinking about. I don't know what that has anything to do with me, but okay.
I mean, I can't work remotely. I could Skype in, do the show.
No, I'm not buying it. We do actually have a bunch of people who work remotely. Anyways, mm-hmm. Can I get the flag? Because I just want to add one last thing here. Not related to the story. I actually want to tell you something about the previous story we just did about the physical attractiveness.
Yeah.
So there we go. Okay. Related to this story, I'm going to tell you in the post game about this crazy thing our high school did, mm-hmm. for the really attractive girls and guys in the class. Mm-hmm. We did a slave auction.
Jeez.
Oh my God. Okay, so this was back in 1988. It was in New Jersey. What in the world was that slave auction? Mm-hmm. And why did we do it? And what were the ramifications? And did we think that it was a big deal or not? So I'll tell you that in the post game for the members at tytnetwork.com/join. Become a member, get the whole show, get the post games, and you'll find out that story as well. All right.
Bye-bye.